Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, Pastor Gock, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
From the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, we hear, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Gracious God, continue to help us to have a life driven by your teachings and guided by your will. Help us to be about what may help our world reflect you by the laws we pass and the way we live out each day. And may we be filled with purpose and a life filled with zest and joy of living that strengthens us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla, McKenna, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
A quorum is present, Senator from the 8th. The quorum is present. The Missouri Senate is now in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 10th day, Monday, January 28th, 2013.
Mr. President.
Senator from Newton.
I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as having been fully read. Also, Mr. President, I would like to announce that photographers from KRCG-TV have been given permission to take flash pictures and video in the Senate chamber.
You've heard the motion. As many as are the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. The chair has an introduction I'm proud to make. My friend from Cape Girardeau, Tom Mogilnicki, is in town. Tom is president of the Missouri Public Transit Association. I make this introduction on behalf of myself and the senator from Cape Girardeau. Please welcome Tom to the Missouri Senate. Further introductions, Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I have two very special guests. One is the president of the University of Central Missouri, the home of the Mules, Dr. Chuck Ambrose, and his bodyguard, Hank Setzer from UCM. So glad to have our Mules here today.
To welcome the distinguished guests. Please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. Senator from the 11th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill to introduce.
Send it forward, sir. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 227, introduced by Senator Lavoda, an act relating to ethics.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a simple 191-page ethics bill. And what it does is this act moves the Ethics Commission into the newly formed Division of Ethics within the Office of the Attorney General. Mr. President, we have talked about ethics reform in this Capitol. We've talked about giving the Ethics Commission more teeth. It should go to our top law enforcement officer in the state, the Attorney General's office, and that this bill does. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the first, or second, I'm sorry. This seventh, sorry.
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Districts around. Seventh.
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 228, introduced by Senator Holzman, an act relating to urban agriculture zones.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is a bill that will help produce our own locally grown food in the inner cities in our state. It is a piece of legislation that made it through both chambers last session, all the way to the conference committee report, and I'm hopeful that it will make it across the finish line this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Phelps.
Two bills.
Send your bills forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 229, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to the Mental Health Employment Disqualification Registry.
Senator?
No explanation at this time is needed.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 230, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to newborn screenings.
No explanation at this time.
Senator from Lewis. Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 231, introduced by Senator Munslinger, an act relating to debt set-offs for unpaid health care expenses.
Senator?
Yes, Mr. President. This bill deals with unpaid claims by ambulance districts.
Senator from Cape Girardeau. Send it forward, sir. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 232, introduced by Senator Wallingford, an act relating to school employee retirement.
Senator.
Question at this time.
Senator from Barry. Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 233, introduced by Senator Sater, an act relating to a prescription drug monitoring program.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This deals with the prescription control substances.
Senator from Christian.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward, sir. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 234, introduced by Senator Wasson, an act relating to marital and family therapists.
Senator?
No explanation.
Introduction of bill, Senator from Webster.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 235, introduced by Senator Cunningham, an act relating to residential real estate loan reporting.
Senator?
No explanation needed at this time.
Thank you. Further introduction of bills. Senator from Newton. Oh, Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an appointment to send forward.
Send it forward, sir. Yeah. Read the appointment.
committee appointment to the Committee of Appropriations, Mike Parson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to refer Senate Concurrent Resolutions 4, 5, and 6 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics.
Shall be so referred. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection.
Senate bills for perfection. Senate Bill 10 and 25. The senator from the 15th.
President, I move that Senate Bills 10 and 25 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The resolution, the bill is before us, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute. By way of, for the benefit of the body, this is a piece of legislation that would enhance our ability as a state to bring amateur sporting events, Final Fours, wrestling championships, on down the line to our state to not only benefit our coffers here in Jefferson City, but more importantly, the small business owners that own the bars, the restaurants, the hotel owners, the whole industry that surrounds tourism. This is big business, and this is an opportunity for Missouri to reestablish itself as a major player in this ever-changing landscape. To give this a little bit of context, this bill was originally filed by me 4 years ago. And in its original form, DESE was given, or not DESE, Mr. President, can we get a little quiet? Yeah, sorry.
Members, please keep your conversations down.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Department of Economic Development was granted broad discretion to create or draw lines of a geographic impact area and estimate the incremental impact that one of these events would have on that particular region. As that bill made its way through the process, it didn't get very far the first year. In the second year, we were able to work through some of the kinks. And ultimately, now here in year four, this is a better bill. And I think a real testament of how the Senate can operate and make a good idea better and make it more accountable. And what I think is important for us to recognize is that in this world of hosting these, and I'll get into sort of how it operates and how it's different, but right now what's important to understand is that it's based on the actual number of people that attend these events. So the credit is directly related to attendance. It's not an estimate. It's not a guesstimate. It's not fuzzy math. It's actually based on the people who are actually in these communities spending money at these events. The landscape that surrounds hosting these events, Missouri has had a pretty meaningful place in that world. Missouri has hosted a lot of events over the years. One of the more prouder memberships of sports commissions in the country reside right here in St. Louis. But other states, Ohio, Texas, Arizona, Florida, have all sort of understood what these events can bring to their state. And different states have different ways of dealing with that. For example, Ohio has something that's similar to this. Texas has their own fund. And Texas, just to put that in perspective, is hosting four of the next five Final Fours. They've really sort of upped their game, upped the ante, and are now hosting these very lucrative events. Florida has a system whereby there's a fee associated with license plates that go towards attracting these kinds of events. So a number of states do a number of different things. And we've arrived at our mechanism for doing it, and we believe it can be very successful. So how does it work? As I mentioned earlier, it's based on the number of tickets sold for that particular event. That information is submitted after the event to the department, and that $5 per ticket credit is then awarded after the event. Very accountable. And what a $5 per ticket credit really means is it's based on an assumption. An assumption that somebody going to one of these events will spend a little over $100 for the entirety of the time that they're there, which we believe is a fairly We believe is a very conservative estimate of what these people spend at events. On average, a lot of these events, over 90% of the people that come to these events are out from outside of our state. Multiple hotel nights, thousands of dollars spent, and the impact is really quite enormous. This is broader than just St. Louis and Kansas City being able to host Final Fours or wrestling championships or Frozen Fours. This is about Cape Girardeau possibly hosting the Ohio Valley Championships. This is about Joplin being able to host meaningful AAU tournaments. And I can tell you from a long time ago, from personal experience, having participated in amateur athletics and having coached, when these tournaments are in a town, people are there for 4 or 5 days. For some hotel owners, for some restaurant owners, that's a make-or-break proposition for their year. So to have those dollars spent in our state, I think, is something that's worth pursuing. It's also worth pointing out that even from the time when this was originally offered 4 years ago, the landscape has changed dramatically. We were talking about, at that time, competing for new events. Now we're talking about just keeping events that we've traditionally had but are now going to other places because of the tools that are being employed in those states. To give you just a few examples, and then I want to make sure that we open this up for questions. The SEC men's basketball tournament that is hosted generates $12.3 million in direct visitor spending. That's $296 per day per fan in over 14,000 hotel nights. The NCAA men's Final Four, which is sort of the crown jewel here, $65.2 million in direct visitor spending, $2.7 million in tax revenue. 92% of those fans are non-local, and there's over 53,000 hotel nights attributed to that event. The NCAA Wrestling Championships, $10 million in spending, $400,000 in direct tax revenue, 91% of the fans coming from out of state, and over 15,000 hotel rooms with an average stay of over 3 nights. The U.S. Olympic swimming trials, this is a major event, $13.2 million in direct visitor spending, attracting fans from 36 states and 7 foreign countries, 8 nights of primetime coverage on NBC. This is an important thing for us to do. I would say that as we move forward on economic development this year, yesterday we had the ability to move along in the process the benevolent tax credits. This is a standalone incentive. And the reason I think this is before the body at this time is this is something that has been worked through by the Senate. It's capped at $3 million. If you assume that somebody spends over $100, the state comes out ahead. It's very accountable. And I think it's important for us to be able to move forward on ideas that make sense on their own. I think, and we will, get to a broader package on other ideas that have been out there, and also very important substantive reforms on the over 60 tax credit programs we have in this state. But I do think it's important for this Senate to be able to address these issues, to make sure that they walk on their own 2 feet. And I think this is, again, following up on yesterday, a very important opportunity for us to be able to move forward on something that is not only good for the state, but all of those business owners, like I said, the restaurants and the bar owners and the hotel owners and the vendors, all those people that surround a very important industry that, quite frankly, we're on the losing end of. And I want to make sure, and I hope this body wants to make sure, that Missouri has its place in competing for those events. So, Mr. President, I would be willing to answer any questions.
Senator from the 15th has renewed his motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 10 and 25. Senator from the 7th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Require the Senator from the 15th.
Does the Senator from the 15th yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, many of us in Kansas City were very concerned when University of Missouri left the Big 12 because there were some really nice opportunities for us to have some economic development based on their events. Do you feel comfortable in saying that by passing this piece of legislation, we're going to put ourselves in a better position to compete for those SEC tournaments?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And why, just out of curiosity, do we not allow for professional venues? You know, we hosted the All-Star Game in Kansas City. You've hosted it in St. Louis. If we're ever going to try to attract the Super Bowl, why are we limiting this to just amateur events?
Well, I think the purpose of this was to try to enhance what we have done traditionally in our state with amateur athletics. I think, you know, Major League Baseball, for example, has a rotation. Kansas City and St. Louis have both hosted in the last couple of years. Those are obviously very important things to have. A Super Bowl would be, you know, unbelievable for the state. But I think limiting this to amateur athletics gets at what we're really trying to get at, what we've been successful at in the past and where we're losing ground on to make sure that we compete. So I think as a practical matter, focusing on amateur athletics is a smart thing for us to do.
If we wanted to try to entice the University of Kansas to re-enter into a football game in Kansas City, would this tax credit be applicable to that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I support your bill, Senator, and I appreciate you bringing it forward. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 5th was the next person seeking recognition. For what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the Senator from the 15th.
Does the Senator from the 15th yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Now, again, can you tell the body what's the projected economic impact to the state once we implement this tax credit?
Well, I think you just need to look at some of the examples. If you look at what the NCAA Final Four has meant to us in the past, I mean, we're talking about tens of millions of dollars in direct visitor spending in whatever region that hosts it, but also that sales tax revenue that's generated to the state, the 4.22% that we have as our state sales tax rate, comes back. I mean, the opportunities are enormous. And I think the way that we've devised this credit, it's a very conservative assumption of what someone would spend for the state to come out ahead. And that's why I think this is, you know, as we work through this, we got to a better place. And I think something that allows us to compete on one hand, but provides those necessary protections for taxpayers.
Are we competing right now for any sports events to come to the state of Missouri? As a result of this?
Yeah, the NCAA swimming trials is something that's on the horizon. And the reason why it's important, I think, for us to move on that, move on this early in this year, the next round of bidding for all of these championships, whether it's the wrestling championships or the Frozen Four, which are the hockey championships or the final, in the next year and a half or so, the bidding cycle that starts really for 5 years from now for the next 5 years is all in play. So our chances are enhanced. Right now, we can't do anything about the fact that we're not going to be hosting one of these events in the next 3 to 5 years, because those have already been set. But moving forward, I think it enables a lot of local communities and also these sports commissions and CVBs across the state to more fine-tune their arguments and go out there and get them. So there's a lot on the table, all those championships on the table, and also provides local communities, like I said, Cape. For Cape Girardeau to be able to host the Ohio Valley championship in basketball or in football or whatever the case might be. I mean, that means a lot in those communities. So this is broad enough. It's specific enough to get in amateur athletics, but broad enough for application across our state.
I commend you for bringing forward such a great piece of legislation. It's truly an economic engine for the state of Missouri. And with that being said, you have my support, and I ask that the body fully support it as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Senator from the 15th.
Does the Senator from the 15th yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Yes, Senator. I like the numbers I hear on hotel rooms, sales taxes, restaurants. I can tell you from Cape Girardeau, where we recently had the Special Olympics, there was not a hotel room available, not only in Cape Girardeau, but the surrounding communities. And being of the restaurant industry myself, it was standing room only in there. So I know it generates a lot of money. You've given a lot of those figures. Just putting it in business sense, do you have any figures on the ROI, the return of equity that we usually expect from investments like this?
Well, I think if you look at, for example, some of the statistics on some of these events, for example, if fan spending on an SEC basketball tournament is $296 per day. The revenue that's generated from that one person to the state, we're much further ahead than the $5 per credit, which basically assumes $117 total. So if you have an average of two or three nights at $296 per day, clearly the state's coming out ahead. But I think more importantly than that, and you're in this industry, the ability for those businesses that support these kind of events to be busy, to be hiring people, to be expanding, to be to have the opportunity to benefit from something like this and the revenue that comes into their coffers, particularly in these economic times, is really, really important. So I think it depends on each event, how long it lasts, you know, how many days, how many hotel nights. But clearly we have a very conservative assumption, I think, on what somebody might spend at one of these events.
Thank you. I've seen the effects of these sporting events in my backyard in Cape Girardeau, and it seems to do very well for the local businesses, and I support your bill.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from the 15th.
Does the Senator from the 15th yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
How are you doing this morning, Senator?
I'm great.
Wonderful.
We're so close to one another now, and before we were so far apart.
I know. It's so awesome to be closer to you now, and I get to make fun of you when I can. And you get to do the same thing. Anyway, I have a few questions. I know that this legislation has come up in the past, and I respectfully, don't really agree with parts of it, but there are some things that I need to work out so that I can have a better understanding of it. Did you have, by chance, this summer, the ability or the opportunity to go to the Lantern Festival?
The Lantern Festival. You invited me, but I did not attend.
I forgot that. I
sent my regrets via text.
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty awesome. In fact, there were millions of visitors to that project, wonderful international project that brought in millions upon millions to our area.
They had a dragon, right, made out of...
They had mini dragons.
Yeah.
But in the front, there was a yellow and red dragon specifically, and I could have sworn it blew out fire, but it didn't. But it was an absolutely beautiful event, one of a kind that does not happen in the country often, in our country, not our state, but in our country. And it so happened to occur at the Botanical Gardens, and there were a lot of organizations who participated in this project. It was a huge event, a huge success. And the part that I really love about this event that we had, and it spanned the summer pretty much. I think it ended about August 19th, started, I want to say, at the end of May. And the beautiful thing about it is that it brought so many different kinds of people together.
Mm-hmm.
That would not ordinarily be brought together. The night that I went, I actually went more than once. I went like four times to this.
Wow.
And that's four times of spending money because I didn't get
yeah.
it for free. And one of the evenings that I went, the governor and his wife and children were there enjoying this great event that we had. But the concern that I have, getting to my point, I wanted to talk about that briefly. Projects like this, would they get a tax credit?
No.
So if we have events like the Lantern Festival, which brought millions upon millions into the state's general revenue, why shouldn't they get an opportunity and the organizations that help put this together to bring in all of those millions of dollars to do the same thing that your bill is doing?
Well, we're talking about a consistent awarding of bids in an industry that has events all across the country. And so Missouri, again, has been very competitive with that in the past, but that landscape is changing. With regard to, not to be as narrow as a Lantern Festival, but even art kind of festivals, I don't think you have the same dynamic in play right now.
About that dynamic. How is it different?
Well, I don't know. In that, I don't think you have a competitive bidding process among, 50 states for lantern festivals.
Well, no, but you do have contracts for services. Like, where are your employees going to stay? What hotel are they going to stay at? Or who is catering an event? Or who is going to be cleaning up? There are contracts that are bidded in these kinds of things. So in that way, they're the same.
Well, one thing is probably good to point out that the Botanical Garden is already publicly funded.
It is. That's true. But we also all get taxed.
I think those are great. Those are great things. And in fact, as this thing has worked through the process, there were other kinds of industries that probably would have liked to or sought to be part of the bill. But as we tried to keep this thing focused, to keep it accountable, you know, sometimes you have to say no, and we're at where we're at because I think we've worked hard to make it better. But, you know, there's a lot of industries out there that are currently, you know, publicly funded to one degree or another. I don't mean to dismiss the impact of something like the Lantern Festival. I just think it's a different dynamic than when you're talking about the awarding of these kinds of events within sports commissions or cities across the country.
Okay, so you remember the film tax that we had? Why don't we have that film tax anymore?
The film tax credit?
Yeah.
I believe it's expiring this year. It's a discretionary credit by DED that I would argue is not as finely tuned as this, in that they are determining a general geographic impact. And so I think for that, I think it's a good thing to have movies filmed in our state. And I think the former senator from Cape actually supported that one at the time.
How many people have actually utilized the film?
Yeah, but I think
the governor's
office has zeroed out that credit. And so as we move forward, if that's something that we want to take on, I think there's some work that we've got to do. It certainly hasn't been, had gone through the exhaustive process over the last few years, as this has.
Over the last couple of years, though, there's been a conversation about eliminating that tax credit because it's not been utilized. And so I just want to make sure we're not going to have an additional tax credit and no one uses it. But at the same time, my concern would be organizations in the arts that are interested in things like this, that are very, very local, that would like to have some participation. And, you know, I know that you're a sports fan. I look at your Twitter. And, you know, I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to have the benefit of a tax credit. On another tier of this conversation, though, what I would be concerned about is the amount of revenue that would be taken out from our general revenue. And, I mean, that concerns me. There are other bills that we are dealing with right now, dealing with our tax system. Last night we talked about some of the benevolent tax credits, and specifically the senator from Andrew was talking about the great liability we have. Knowing that that is the case, and also knowing that our revenue that is coming in right now is only increasing incrementally, my concern is that we're going to put ourselves in a bad disposition by not thinking long-term or smart. So I'd like to know from you, how is taking out an additional $3 million going to help out? Whatever funds come from any special event, regardless of what it is, I want the whole thing.
Well, I think
whatever it may be, if it's the hotel, if it's the food, if it's the tickets that municipalities like to give because outsiders are speeding too fast, whatever it is, if extra revenue to the state or to the county or municipality, I would prefer 100% go into the pot than 50%.
Well, the challenge, though, is 100% of nothing is less than, you know, a percentage of something.
Yeah, so, but we've had these events, though, and
yeah,
we can't say nothing.
Well, I'll give you an example. We don't have the Frozen Four anymore. We don't have the wrestling championships anymore. We are not on the schedule for Final Fours. We are losing. And so the question is, do we look at a fiscal note, which I challenge, you know, sometimes, you know, how they're ultimately devised. But I believe, and we'll find out from the body if we get to a vote on this, I believe there's a positive impact for the state. that with the assumption that we've made, which is basically one hotel night, okay? That's all. We're assuming that if somebody comes from out of town, all they're going to do is stay in a hotel room for one night. That's it. So I believe it's a very conservative assumption that ultimately the state comes out ahead. And the discussion, in my view, isn't about scarcity. And it shouldn't be about what you're referring to on the fiscal. This is a conversation about growing the pie. And I hope that we can start to have an honest discussion about that, because I don't think the fiscal note tells the whole story on a credit like this. And ultimately, that's for, you know, individual members to decide. Do you believe that it's better to have these events than to not have these events? And if we have an incentive to help us get those events, is the state better off? I think the answer to that is yes.
So the insurance companies that are responsible for, some of their clients' safety, and, you know, I'm not too familiar with the business of these events, but I know that insurance companies are involved in this. Will they have the opportunity, those insurance companies that are covering an event one way or the other, will they be able to utilize the tax credit themselves?
The insurance company?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so in the fiscal note, what I'm reading, I'll just read from it. The fiscal note does not reflect the possibility that some of the tax credits could be utilized by insurance companies against insurance premium taxes.
Right.
If this occurs, the loss in tax revenue would be split between the General Revenue Fund and the County Foreign Insurance Fund, which ultimately goes to local school districts.
Yeah, that would be if, so when a tax credit is refundable, there's two scenarios that can take place. One is that the purchaser of that can reduce their tax liability. Okay, if a business wants it, they can reduce their tax liability. Or that credit can be sold. One of the purchasers or one of the uses of the credit may be to reduce the tax liability for some business on their on the insurance tax that's being referenced in there. So that is not the utilization of an insurance company to host the event, but rather the reduction in tax liability that might be utilized by a recipient. So it doesn't change anything. It's just how that tax credit might be applied by someone in possession of the credit.
And, you know, the last three words of what I just read dealt with the funding of local school districts. I know that you and I are both champions of public education and making sure that funds go to our local districts. I mean, do you see this as a, hindrance to what your bigger objective is, which is to make sure that all school districts are properly funded?
I bet you if Kelvin Adams was here today, he would relish the opportunity for more of these events to be in his community and people spending money in the city of St. Louis.
He does. He doesn't represent my district, though.
Well, I bet
you.
Nor
is he my priority. Rittner.
I bet you Rittner, the superintendent of Rittner, might feel that way. Or University City, because quite frankly, I think people would spend money in the loop.
They do,
but
we also have.
If they're in the STL, they're spending money in the loop.
You brought that up. We also have a problem because we lose money because of Washington University, and they do not pay taxes for all of the property that they have. We lose approximately $3 million every year because Washington University does not pay taxes on their property. So this is an issue to us, and I've tracked this for about 13 years now in terms of University City. But if you want to talk about a different school district, we're more than welcome to.
Yeah, there's a similar issue in Webster Groves with Webster University, and it's with any university, that's an issue for the property tax rolls, but probably not relevant to this discussion. I think people spending money in whatever community that's hosting is a good thing for everybody.
I understand that. I just wish that this was broader in scope. I know that this has been one of your pet projects for the last several years. I am just an advocate for putting as much money in our general revenue as possible.
Well, then I think you'll love this bill.
I do not think that our constituents should be burdened anymore, though. I mean, I know in our community, in my district, there's several bond issues that are coming up in April. And just this morning, my mayor was talking about doing a tax increase, and I'd rather not do a tax increase at all. But again, there's no proof to say that any one of these events is going to bring more money into my community. I haven't seen that happen.
Well, at a minimum, Senator, at a minimum, it would bring more money into the state. So if Cape Girardeau's hosting an event, or Maryville's hosting an event, or Joplin, I think that's good for the state and those businesses that surround those areas. Louis, you're a very sincere legislator. I've come to know you very well. I understand that your questions come from a very sincere place, and you have every right to ask those questions. I think it's just important to look at these things, you know, on their own basis. Not all of them are created equal. Some are good. Some don't make any sense. And I think this is one that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and having this conversation, I just want to thank you because you are a good friend of mine. You're one of the few people who I actually trust wholeheartedly. And I appreciate the dialogue, but I think we should have the dialogue. Anytime every single senator is agreeing with a proposition, there's a problem.
Yeah, I don't take it personally. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly, is to have discourse from various perspectives, and you know that's something that I respect. Again, you know, for those who are new, it's important for you to understand, for everyone to understand that we're all equal, and we all have the ability to ask questions and delve into you know a conversation more. And I'm just very glad that you gave me this opportunity to ask you about this. I've had a concern about this bill for years, and I just, you know, we're going to get into some of those corporate tax credits, and, you know, if we keep cutting and cutting, at some point in time, we're going to have to tax, and, you know, it's not my party that says let's not tax. So thank you very much for the dialogue. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To introduce special guests.
Seeing no objection, Senator, proceed.
On my left, on your right, we have one of our superintendents of one of our fine schools. Dr. Barkley is here with us. He's superintendent of the Raytown School District. If the body would make him feel welcome, I would appreciate it. I would mention he is a constituent of the Senator from the 9th.
Would the guest of the Senator from the 8th please rise again? Let's welcome him to the Senate chamber today. Senator from the 4th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire the Senator from the 15th.
Does the Senator from the 15th yield?
I most certainly do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I've got some questions about your bill, but before we get started, I just want to tell you that I moved my office downtown in 1998, so I've seen firsthand the wrestling tournament, the basketball tournaments, the women's basketball tournaments. The streets are crowded with people down there. There is little doubt in my mind that these tournaments generate an enormous amount of revenue, not only for the city, but for the state. But I do have some questions about your fiscal note, if you don't mind walking through it with me.
Yeah.
it says, total estimate on the first page, total estimate net effect on general revenue, $3,060,000. That's pretty straightforward. Then we get back to the third page. Well, the bottom of the second page. This proposal would allow $3 million in tax credits annually based on ticket sales and eligible event costs in order to attract sporting events to Missouri. Then you go to the next paragraph on the third page. This proposal creates a tax credit program up to $10 million annually.
Yeah.
I got $3 million, I got $10 million, I got a total cost of $3 million. I got numbers coming everywhere.
No, it's a good question. So if you recall, so the credit that's available for the amateur sporting events is the $3 million. If you remember with the Senator Stofer, when he had the developmental disability tax credit that we moved forward on last year, it was originally talked about in 2011, but in 2012, I believe we third read it and it was truly agreed to. What that did, it established a contribution credit that, to try to break it down, if somebody wants to contribute to that entity, I'll just use $10,000. $10,000 is paid to the paid to the state, okay?
To the state or to the authority?
To the state.
Okay.
Okay. Ultimately paid to the state, $10 million. So the state is issuing $10 million in credits. They've received $10 million. No fiscal impact. This allows for room to do it. And the way that that contribution credit is then broken out, the sponsoring group, the sponsoring association has the benefit of half of that 10, and the person that's donating can write off the rest of the 5 on their own taxes. So it encourages people to contribute to things that we deem worthy. There is no fiscal impact to the state. In fact, I would argue it's a positive fiscal impact because of the time value of money. They're being paid up front and getting interest for that contribution credit. So this is an established precedent that we've done before as it relates to basically encouraging people to donate. But no negative impact to the state.
Let me run that by me one more time. I want the NCAA Wrestling Championship to come to Missouri.
Yes.
I write the state of Missouri a check for $10,000?
The $10,000, right. Is the credit is...
Then I get back 20?
5.
Oh, I get back 5.
Yep.
You get
the ability to reduce your tax liability by 5.
Five.
Not 10, by 5. The sponsoring association has the benefit of the other 5, and the state is made whole.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I understand now.
All right. So that's why there's no... That's why the fiscal note really just addresses the 3 and not the other 10, but the other 7, but that's in there.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks.
Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from the 15th.
Does the Senator from the 15th yield? He does. Proceed.
Senator, you said something interesting during a previous dialogue. You said that the state of Missouri is losing its opportunities to attract some of these events.
Yes.
Why is that? Just because we don't have something like this ready to roll, or is it something
else?
Yeah, I
think what's happened is Texas has their own fund. I mean, Texas just paid out like $17 million to have a Formula One. I mean, Texas is blowing the roof off a lot of this stuff, and part of the reason why they've been able to get some of these more recent Final Fours, I think 4 of the next 5. Other states like Ohio have something similar to this. So 10 years ago, this wasn't really part of the discussion. The discussion was, how organized is your sports commission? How much corporate support is there? Do you have the facilities that can accommodate? That was part of the equation. Now the equation has changed because of the ability to sort of guarantee some of the support that is required to host these events. Other states go into that bidding process and say, look, they might be able to raise the money. We don't really know. But I tell you what, we've got the money to host this and do it right. It'll be in, you know, an A-plus show, and you guys will look great. So that's why these events are steadily shifting somewhere else. And so this is a place, again, this isn't to say this is going to solve all the problems and we're going to be hosting everything. It just allows us to compete and recognizing that competitive landscape that exists.
Well, it's an interesting conversation because you look at in the 11th Senatorial District, you have Arrowhead Stadium, Kauffman Stadium, you have the Independence Event Arena, you have a lot of facilities. But in the Kansas City area, we used to have the NAIA there. We used to have,
used to have the NCAA headquarters.
NCAA, yes. I mean, it was the capital of amateur sports.
Yeah, I would agree.
We've lost that along the way. And the fact that this focuses on those amateur events, I think, is some of these amateur events are almost like professional at some point, but it's good for the community, and we've lost some of that, and hopefully this bill will help a little bit with that, but I hope we keep thinking of other things, because we really did used to be the center of all that action, and we've lost that along the way.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 31st, were you standing to be recognized?
Thank you.
For what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the senator from the 13th.
Does the senator from the 13th?
15th.
Does the senator from the 15th yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. And my questions are, I think, more about the administration of this and also some of the economics of it. And
sure.
I think I've already said at least once that every one of these tax credits I see is the enemy of real tax reform. So I'm always a little suspicious. But I'm trying to figure out how exactly is this going to work in terms of reporting requirements? Once the tax credit is requested and approved, What's required in order to get the money?
Right. So if you're looking at section, let me get there. 16. So line 96, section 6, sub 2. Within.
What page are we on, Senator?
That would be page 4, top four. Of page 4. Okay. After the event is awarded, basically by, let's just say, the NCAA, that contract, that joinder agreement and that support contract is certified by DED, meaning they understand that we've got it, and that's a positive thing, and be ready for the information that will then follow after the event. Within 7 days after the event, if you go to line 107 on section 4, 7 days after the conclusion of the event, then that information that you're probably getting at is submitted to the Department of Economic Development relating to the number of tickets sold. And at that point, then, the $5 per ticket credit is awarded by DED. And so if you look further, there's additional accountability measures along with the cap and the sunset, the $3 million cap and the six-year sunset and audit. They are availing themselves, any sponsoring organization is availing themselves to an audit.
Okay, and is all this easily manageable within current staffing? And, I mean, I'm not sure just how
I believe it is. Now, they put in here an FTE, and I think the department just does that, so if they want to hire somebody, they've said, well, we put it in your fiscal note. I don't really think it's necessary, but it's in the fiscal note.
Okay, well, and one other thing that, just again, back to the economics of this, this begins January 1st, 2013, its effective date, right? According to, I'm on page 5, 67305.
Yeah, for this, number one. Yeah, the effective date would be in, well, I can't, is there an emergency clause on here?
I'm sorry.
I can't remember if there's an emergency clause on here or not, but anyway, the bill would go into effect this year, and moving forward allows basically 6 years of bidding that could then be submitted after the event is held.
Okay, but it would be applicable.
Yes, for what's happening right now. Yep.
And one of the things that I guess now, and it's just supposed to be new events, new
money. Correct. And what that is, and that is addressed by these events being competitively bid. So if you have an event that's here that's never really competitively bid for other sites to basically take from you, you don't qualify. It's one of the other protections. This has to be something where people are actually competing to host. And you could lose it to Omaha or Cincinnati or whatever. So we're trying to get at, like you just mentioned, the new events.
Okay, and I think you said earlier that it's going to be 5 years before we get out of what's already booked, and we've heard from a couple of other senators that when these events come to town, they're already booked up, and they're, you know, hotels are full, and it sounds like there is quite a bit of business existing. Is it possible that this tax credit is either going to be used for the next 5 years if there's an absence of new events, or?
Quite frankly, Senator, it's possible it could never be utilized in that we're never awarded a competitively bid event. That's possible. It's also possible that we could hit home runs all across this state and get up to the cap number. But as I mentioned, you know, there's no guarantee we're going to get any of these. It just improves our chances.
And how do we ensure that the existing business, the business that's been talked about on the floor already, isn't included as a part of the tax credit program, so that we're really not gaining by, I mean, if I understand you right, it's a maximum of $5 per ticket.
Right.
Could be less than that, but that's a maximum. So if we look at $5 a ticket, how do we know we're not giving that $5 a ticket to events that wouldn't have to give that $5 a ticket to? I mean,
that's a good question. And as this bill was being formulated, something that I didn't want to provide a credit for stuff that we were locked in and we had that other people really had no chance at getting. That really wasn't the point. The point was, as you get into these competitive bidding situations, things that, now, it is also, for full disclosure, it's also possible, let's just say that we've had an event, but it goes into the next bidding cycle 2 or 3 years from now. Let's This would have been a more accurate argument if we would have adopted the bill, let's say, 2 years ago, because we did have a stranglehold on the wrestling championships. That was pretty, I think the center from Jefferson probably likes it. We had the ability to host that almost every year. But when they went into their next bidding cycle a couple of years ago, that event went other places. And so it's not fair to say that just because we've hosted something before that we'll continue to have it. There are things that we've never had that we want to have. But as you go into the competitive bidding process, that's what we're trying to align this with. If there's an event, let's just say, just some event that's traditionally been held somewhere in the state that's not really offered anywhere else, that's not competitively bid, it wouldn't qualify. It's just something that we could possibly get or we could possibly lose as people are bidding in that process.
And that lack of qualification is supposed to be revealed in the audit process or the application process?
No, that's part of the requirement. So before DED will actually certify that you're eligible for it once that bidding has begun, that they do their due diligence to ensure that there has been a competitive process.
Okay.
It's really the best way within the mechanism of government that we have now to ensure that.
Okay, and I understand, because that's the concern I had, is that if we're using the $5 and the anticipated expenditures in the state to come up with, if they spend $100, we're going to get the tax credit back in new tax
right.
receipts. But if, in fact, only half of those tickets are new, then that makes it $200. And if a quarter of them are new, it makes it $400. That has to be spent for us to get this back.
No, and I appreciate your line of questioning. It is something that we've worked through, I think, over the years to make sure that there is that accountability and we're not just rewarding stuff that's not going anywhere.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your taking my inquiry. I'm still very reluctant to support new tax credits. I think that what we're seeing in our surrounding states is a move away from tax credits toward elimination of the income taxes against which those tax credits go, and I'm not sure that this is in alignment with that kind of tax reform.
Well, Senator, you and I have had this discussion. If it were up to me and we could start all over, it wouldn't look anything like what we have now. And really that policy, I think, is primarily driven by the federal government with regard to tax policy. But you and I are working very hard along with the Senator from the 8th and the Senator from the 24th and others and the Senator from Mercer on what does our overall tax reform look like? I think that is a really important thing for us to do, too. I also think that portfolio has room for things that make sense and grow our economy like that, too. That's just my own personal take.
Very good. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I'm the Senator from the 15th.
Does the Senator from the 15th yield?
I do. Thank you.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, good morning.
Good morning.
I did not get up yesterday on the other tax credit bill. Because it was contributory in nature, but I do want to get up on this tax credit bill. Kind of tell you where I'm coming from. I do think the overall tax credit is one of the better ones that's out there. It's very limited in nature. It's only $3 million. I do think there's a need out there for something to put some incentives on the table to get these sporting events. I was in the committee when they testified that the St. Louis calendar was full, and now we have one on the calendar.
Right.
So I do understand the need, but my reservation or my concern with this is the overall tax credit reform package. And we've spoke offline about this, but I want to be very public about where I'm coming from on tax credits in general. You know that I've, over the last 2 years in the Senate and 1 year prior to that probably in the House, I've really, really been on reforming tax credits because we're taking more and more money out of the general revenue pool and we're putting it to things that may be good but may not be good, but it's continued to be the fastest growing part of our budget.
Mm-hmm.
Every year you look at the tax credit expenditures, money that's taken away, it's becoming more and more. It's faster growing than Medicaid. It's faster growing than our money that's going to elementary and secondary education. And I don't think that necessarily lines up with our opinions and what we really want to do in this body. And so what I'm going to do today, well, on Thursday or when we ever third read this, is I'm going to vote no because I want the bigger package before we get this done. Now, I respect the pro tem and his desire to send a signal over to the House that we're willing to work and get some compromise and get some things done on this. But I think it's important that I publicly come out here and being an advocate for change, not to backtrack and vote for tax credits before we get that change that we've worked so hard on. And I know you've worked hard on it, and I know we're going to have some hearings either today or tomorrow this week on tax credit reforms, a bigger package. And I'm looking forward to that discussion in committee and getting that bill out here and hopefully being able to save the state some money on these tax credits and sending that over to the other body. And hopefully we'll get something done and send it to the governor this year so we can save the taxpayers of Missouri some money and move in the right direction on these tax credits.
Well, I appreciate it, and I know you've worked hard, and the senator from Nottoway, where I were kidding, you know, a couple of days. I mean, we've spent an entire summer trying to get to a place where we could get, and we had $1.5 billion with all that stuff. I share that same desire, and I think it is important, though, to remember, at least this is the way I view the world, is some of these, as we look to how we recalibrate what we do, you know, the ones that make sense and the ones that we're probably too much involved with and we need to reduce our exposure to. I mean, I think all of that is very appropriate, and it's my intention, obviously, to move, you know, that package forward on taking a look at those very issues, and we have hearings scheduled, you know, next week. So I share that same desire, but I also think it's important for us to send a signal that if there is something that we think makes some sense, that we're able, you know, to move forward on. I think long-term, Senator, that will provide more of an opportunity for us to act, because the play, in my view, the playbook from a couple years ago on how we brought some of these issues to a head is a little bit of a different playbook now, and we just have to recognize, you know, how this all fits together.
I want to make sure it's very clear that as I'm going to let this one go and not be part of any kind of bigger picture to stop this one, that this is a one-time little, hey, we're going to send this over, we're wanting the bigger package, don't expect every year for us to fail on the bigger package and come forward with a small tax credit, and I think we're going to continue to pass the small tax credits to move forward on the smaller. We need reform. I'm willing to let this one go with the fact that we're looking at bigger reform this year.
Yeah,
if that bigger reform does not happen, I'm not going to be in the same situation next year.
Yeah, and it's your prerogative. I am hopeful that we can get that done this year, which is why I think we're going to try to do it sooner rather than later. God, I hope so.
I'm ready to put this chapter behind us and move forward on
I think
things.
It's time to turn the page, but that is going to require a lot of hard work. Like I said the other day, you know, we didn't come up here just to work on consent bills. Some of this stuff is hard, but I think we begin that process yesterday. We continue that process today, and moving forward, I think we get to some of the bigger issues you're talking about.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Thanks. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 5th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 15th.
The senator from the 15th yield?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me first apologize to the body as well as you, Senator. I think I called you gentleman earlier.
Yeah, so I take offense.
I truly
when
apologize, and thanks for not gaveling me down. That would have been embarrassing. however, can you tell me, did we have any opposition to this bill in committee?
It was a 9-0 vote, right?
I mean, in terms of those individuals that testified, did we have anyone testifying in opposition
to
this?
No.
Who do we have testifying in support of it?
For
the whole body to know.
You have the St. Louis Sports Commission. Dave Peacock, the former head of Anheuser-Busch, who is the president, the chairman of the sports commission, testified in support. You had the folks from Joplin testify. I don't have it in front of me. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, the folks from Joplin testify in support. You had the folks from Kansas City, the sports commission in Kansas City, testify in support. You had the city of St. Louis testify in support. You had St. Louis County testify in support. I know St. Charles County is supportive. I can't remember if they were there or not. You had, in the past, the number of the CVBs, the convention and visitor bureaus across the state, headed by Marcy Bennett and St. Joseph, they've been in support. There's a broad array across the state for us to move forward on this.
Again, there was no one testifying against it.
That's correct.
And I truly believe that many of those that testify in support of the bill, I can truly say many of them are experts when it comes to sports and entertainment. and what it takes to cultivate dollars in that field.
Yeah.
Isn't that true to say? All right. Now, there's no sunset on this.
No, there is. It's a six-year sunset.
Six-year sunset.
Yep.
Okay. And the
so the legislature can come back and say, you'll be here. I won't be here. They can come back and say, you know what, this was the greatest thing we've ever done, and we want to expand it. Or they could say, you know what, this didn't work out the way we thought it was going to work out. And they can sun. But that legislature will then have the opportunity to review it 6 years from now.
Now, do you think the floodgates are going to open once we pass this in terms of those sports entities trying to get the tax credit?
Do I think what now?
Do you think there will be a floodgate of individuals going after these tax credits?
I hope so. I mean, I think that'd be great for our economy. It's capped, so there's a limit to the amount of incentive that's actually available. But if you take the perspective that this helps grow the economy, that this helps support small businesses across the state that are surrounding the tourism industry, and it generates revenue for our state in a time in which that's what one of our challenges is, as we fund, you know, mental health services and all K-12, all the things that we talk about, I believe this grows our economy. And the more events we have, the better. And we'll see, because it's going to be their responsibility to go out and, you know, sell St. Louis or sell Kansas City or sell Joplin or sell Cape. And now they have the additional backing of knowing that they're going to provide a certain level of support for these events.
You know, I used to be a small business owner, and I know that in order to make money, you have to spend money. And I can say that if we're going to take tax credits and for the purpose of cultivating the economy, I don't think that we're going to hurt the general revenue. Because like you said, you know and I know that if we're able to bring the type of sports events that we talked about earlier to the state of Missouri, we're talking major dollars.
Well, and I agree, sir. If you've ever been to one of these events, I just want people to envision. When you go to one of these events, and the statistics show, basically, that 9 out of 10 people that are sitting in those stands are from somewhere else, okay? When you go to those events, you want to have a good time, you know? You're buying the T-shirt, you're buying the hat, you're going out to eat, you're staying at a hotel, you may buy a Budweiser, you may buy a Diet Coke, I don't know, but you're having a good time.
Go to the mall.
You may go to the mall.
Yeah, you may go
you know,
to the mall.
You may go to downtown Kirkwood and see scenic downtown. I don't know. You may do a lot of things. But in my view, that's healthy. That's about growth. And that's the conversation that I think we need to start having around here.
You know, this is an out-of-the-box type of thinking on your part. I truly appreciate you, Senator, bringing forward this piece of legislation to really turn up the noise when it comes to how we bring forth ideals to cultivate our economy here. So once again, thank you, Senator.
Thank you. There's a lot of people, but just to be clear, there's a lot of people that have spent a lot of time, the Senator, you know. From,
well, I commend each and every
Newton
one of you.
And the Senator from the 24th, the people in the committee. This has been a collaborative effort. And like I said, because of this process on the floor over the last few years and all the work that's gone into it in the interim, I think this is a better bill than what was originally filed. And that's what the Missouri Senate should be about. So,
Thank you, Senator. Hopefully when I sit down, we'll close.
I don't think so. Senator from the Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from the 15th.
Does the Senator from the 15th yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you for taking my inquiry, Senator. I've heard the number 3 million several times today. But in fact, this bill creates $13 million in tax credits, doesn't it?
Well, it's a question of what you're, if you want to talk about the fiscal impact of the state, that's not accurate.
Okay. Could you explain that to me? Because the one section says that the department can issue $3 million, and the other section says they can issue $10
million. And this was part of the discussion I had with the Senator from the 4th. The $3 million is for the enticement of having these events here. The other $10 million is related to the contribution credit. So basically, when somebody wants to participate in that effort, they're paying up front to the Department of Economic Development the face value of that credit. So DED isn't out anything. And as I said earlier, in fact, I would argue they're ahead because of the time value of money and the interest that can be gained from having that money up front. And then that credit then is a 50% deduction of tax liability for the donor. The sponsoring entity, it has the availability of the other five. But as it relates to what your question is, the $10 million that goes to the state, they're made whole immediately, so there is no fiscal impact. And this is not a, I mean, we've done this before.
So explain that to me again. They put the money up, which right. is then spent to attract sporting events to the state.
Well, the for the purposes of the bidding process, I think it's best to look at it this way. It's for the purposes of the bidding process and that competitive process, that's where the $3 million is available. Okay?
I see.
If you're looking for additional support for those sports commissions as they also try to underwrite the costs for these events, because make no mistake, this credit will not go to a place that would allow these sports commissions to be made whole for sponsoring the event. It's a portion of it. So to help underwrite that the cost of that event, they receive the benefit of that donation. But as far as it's related to the state is made whole, and there is no fiscal impact. And the senator, and I will confess,
I think I understand
the senator from the
24th
has come running into the chamber. As we worked through this over the last couple years, he was, I think that I'm not trying to direct anything to him, but this we believe that this was a good thing, and the Center for the 24th spent probably a little more time than me on it.
I think I understand what you're saying there. You've okay. explained that piece, but and once again, I have to tell you, I'm not an attorney. I just only read things from a layman's point of view. But I don't know, but I feel that there might be a little error in the language here.
Okay, let's explore that.
So on page 5, section 67.3005, look at line 7.
Page 5.
Line 7. And it says basically that...
what section? I'm sorry, what section are you on, Senator?
67.3005.
Okay.
On page 5.
Section 1 okay. of that. Okay.
Right. Line 7. It says that the amount of the tax credit claimed shall not exceed the amount of the taxpayer's state income tax liability in the tax year for which the credit is claimed. But isn't it true that this tax credit wouldn't necessarily involve just only state income tax, but also corporate franchise tax and also financial institution tax?
Yes, I believe those are the chapters referenced.
So wouldn't you want it to not exceed the amount of the tax, all those taxes too?
Otherwise due under chapter 143, 147, or 148.
143 is income tax, 147 is corporate franchise tax, 148 is financial institutions tax.
Okay.
And so I just wonder if, you know, if that's a little bit of an, maybe you've limited it to where, I mean...
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. I'm comfortable with it.
Okay, well, I mean, that's okay. I just don't know. The second thing is if you look at line 12...
Yes.
It says, to claim the credit authorized, the certified sponsor or local organizing committee shall submit the application. Right. Well, it seems to me that the one claiming the credit, since it uses the word claim the credit... We're talking about the same word claim up in line 6. It also uses the word claim. So it seems to me that the taxpayer that's claiming the credit is the same entity that is making the claim in line 12 and 13.
Well, I think the way to look at it probably if you're envisioning kind of a flow chart in your head, the sponsoring entity is the one making the application. However, they don't have the ability to make that application without the donor that has contributed those funds. And so as that credit is then issued, it flows back to from the sponsoring entity to the donor.
All I'm trying to say is that can you not see that somebody could make an argument that since the local organizing committee, which is more than likely a not-for-profit entity, and would therefore have no tax liability... It almost appears that there isn't anybody who could ever have this credit.
Except for that the credit, as it, all credits are transferable.
Well, I know, but what I'm trying to say to you is that...
Well, theoretically, no, if you're right, which I don't argue, if the sponsoring entity claimed it, it's theoretically, if they weren't selling it, they may not be able to
Listen,
use it.
Listen, it's your
but
bill.
That's to their detriment. And so I have to believe that people are rational actors in this marketplace, and they'll do what is in their best interest.
I'm just simply saying yeah. that this bill might be interpreted as saying that the person, since the person claiming the tax credit and the person claiming the credit, they use the same words, is going to be a not-for-profit, that the taxpayer won't have any liability, so therefore you could never claim the credit. I'm just simply saying that the way it's worded, think about it, may be a problem. Now, I also have a concern about the $3 million tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
That one also is only really ever going to be claimed by someone who's not-for-profit, isn't it?
Yeah, explicitly only allowed by either a sponsoring municipality or county or the...
And those are all not-for-profit.
Yes.
So basically what we're doing is we're creating a tax credit that we absolutely know is going to be sold to someone else to be claimed. Is that not true?
Yeah, except to the extent that a not-for-profit theoretically could use it to reduce their tax liability to maintain the not-for-profit status.
And is that an income tax or a corporate franchise tax?
They probably wouldn't qualify for the corporate franchise
tax. Well, that's
tax,
what I'm trying to
but
say.
But it could be the income. Yeah, but I think, look, you're right. The likely scenario is, of course, that they're using the ability to market the credit to help underwrite
and
the
expense. And they're going to get 85% on it.
Well, they differ. I mean, you're talking about the efficiency of the credit. Some of them are a lot greater than that.
90-some percent.
Yeah, right.
It just seems odd to me that we would be, you know, doing it in a way that is not efficient for the person we're trying to help.
Well, under our constitutional scheme, without being able to cut checks, basically, right, it is the most efficient way. So much like, what is it, democracy, it's not the perfect form of government, but it's the best form of government. I mean, this is, if we're trying to get at this issue, this is the best strategy to do it.
Well, I share the same concerns as the senator from the 8th. And I'd like to know what our overall tax credit plan is. And my feeling is that, doggone it, here we are creating another $3 million tax credit. I mean, it helps your district, I mean, to get the Final Four, but it doesn't do a whole lot for my district.
Well, actually, Kirkwood won't host the Final Four.
Well, whatever it is, I mean, the thing is that, you know, I'd like to, over in my side of the state, I'd like to see, you know, annual investor.
Well, sure, but we're talking about, okay, in this world, right, of amateur sporting events, St. Joe has a great opportunity. The counties that you represent have a great opportunity to go out
this
there.
Isn't something that's really going to help my city.
Well, in your
but
view.
But I'll tell you what will help
in
it
your
is Mosaira.
View.
Mosaira will help it. Data center tax credit, that would
I support,
help.
I support both of those.
Well, so my question to you is, are you committed to, you know, getting some other tax credits, you know, as well as caps on the two big problem ones?
Absolutely. If you
see, here's what I don't want to have happen. At the end of the day, on May the 17th, I don't want this tax credit to be the law of the land and not have the caps on the other two and not maybe have some good reform and including some of the tax credits that are needed over there.
Sure. Look, you have, I believe I have a track record on this, and I am committed. All you need to do is look at the committee hearing schedule for tomorrow in January. Of what we're going to be considering. The way I viewed this, and I've expressed it, maybe you and I have not had this conversation explicitly, but I'm happy to have it here on the floor for everybody to hear. I believe that the best strategy for moving forward on economic development and tax credit reform is to establish our ability with its benevolence, and then the one here that makes a lot of sense, that has, in my view, a very positive fiscal impact, that's run the gauntlet, that's received all the scrutiny, been around for a while, for us to be able to move forward on that to send a statement that we can operate in a way to review these things individually. However, that also requires, I think, the view for us to move forward on. There are other ideas that are out there that have been vetted for a while, and there's also significant tax credit reform that I believe we need to move forward on. And so I believe that is the next stage of where we're going, and I hope to do it sooner rather than later. Can I promise you that people somewhere else with different, you know, perspectives, that everything that we want in that whole package will ultimately be on May 17th, the law of the land? I can't. I'll do the best I can in working with you and other members who care about this issue very deeply. We have shown a commitment here in the Missouri Senate, I think, to tackle these issues. 2 years ago, we found some incentives that we believe made sense, but also found, you know, $1 billion to $1.5 billion in savings over 15 years. I think we're committed to finding savings in programs that need to be reformed, but also finding a way to move forward on things like data centers and other ideas that are out there. And so that's my perspective.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you are committed to getting those things done, but you can't really guarantee me that at the end of the day, if this passes out of this chamber, that it might become the law of the land, but caps on low-income housing, historic preservation, and the other tax credit action that would help my side of the state, you can't guarantee that those things are going to be addressed.
I am not.
You'd like it to have happen, yeah, but you're right. Just not right.
Yeah, it is not a monarchy, and I'm not a dictator. But I am expressing to you my sincere desire to accomplish all of these things.
Well, if I were, I want to just tell you that, like the senator from the 8th, you know, I've told you my position. I don't think that we should move on a tax credit myself, create a whole new tax credit without reforming the others and, you know, me being able to advocate for my side of the state. I don't like it that we're doing that. And because of the fact that you can't give me a guarantee, then I'm going to have to give it a no vote. But I'm not to the point where I am going to hold up your train. I just don't like it. I would like to see at the end of the day, and I may come around later on if everything works into place, but I just want you to know where I am.
Well, I'm gonna do my best, and I, you know, try to be open about what I view the strategy to be, and I will do everything I can to make sure we accomplish all these goals.
I hope you understand and respect my position.
I do. I get it.
I understand that this is good for you. I also hope that you will just please look at the language issue that I pointed out to you, because it may be a problem for you.
I appreciate your scrutiny, and because of these conversations that have happened over a period of years, again, I think we're in a better place, so I appreciate you spending the time and actually reading the bill.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
Senator has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bills 10 and 25. Is many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate Committee Substitute has been adopted. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Nottoway, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I'd seek unanimous consent for the Senate to momentarily stand at ease.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease. Senate is in session. Senator from Andrew.
President, I've asked to come back here.
Senator from the 15th, we are on adoption of the perfection motion for Senate Bill, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 10 and 25. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that bill be placed on the informal calendar.
Shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Newton.
President, we're going to go to the order of business, report of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees.
And Mr. President, I have a report.
Please send the report forward. Read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bills Numbers 20, 15, and 19, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Richard, Chairman.
Senator from the second.
Your Small Business, Insurance, and Industry Committee.
Please send the report forward. Secretary, when you receive it, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Small Business, Insurance, and Industry, to which was referred Senate Bill 1, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Roop, Chairman.
Secretary, please refer Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill 2015 and 19 to the Government Accountability and Fiscal Oversight Committee.
Stand up and make that announcement under announcement. Okay.
Yeah. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the order will go to the business of announcements. You recognize me for announcement, please.
Announcements. Senator from Newton.
Thank you. Your Committee on Rules will meet at 1 o'clock.
Further announcements. Senator from Johnson. Or is it what
Thank
count?
You. I think I will defer to the appropriations
I
chair.
Hold the power of recognition, Senator. Do you have an announcement?
I do. Actually, I'd like to introduce a special guest if there's no objection.
Without hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a very special guest. She is an intern from the University of Missouri. And she's working a little bit in the Senate, but mostly in the House. So her name is Kate Kerber, originally from Warrensburg, and like the Biden maker, feel welcome.
Let's
Kate
welcome Kerber. The guest of the Senator from Johnson.
Thank you.
Senator from Boone. We are on announcements.
In that case, I have an announcement. Upon recess this morning, we'll have the appropriations hearing to hear from Linda Lubering on more of the details of the governor's budget. So we'll start about 5 minutes after we recess this morning.
Further announcements? Hearing none. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming for the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 4:30 this day, where we'll continue debate on Senate Bill 10 and Senate Bill 25.
Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none. Oh, you've heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. Is there any of that opinion that motion shall prevail? Say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, ayes have it. Senate will stand in recess until 4:30 p.m. this day.